Father, this morning we just thank you for your presence. God, we thank you that we can declare that you are the God of miracles. And God, whatever need, God, we have in our life, I pray that, God, that we would be urgent to come forward and come to you and say, God, we need you. We need you to move in our life. God, that we wouldn't hesitate to call on the God of miracles. And Father, I pray that we would just walk in you. And Father, I just thank you for your presence. Thank you for joining us here. And Father, I pray that you would minister to our hearts as we hear your word this morning. Just do what you want to do in us, Lord. We love you. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please turn to 2 Kings chapter 5. I was 11 years old when my dad went to Vietnam. I remember my age when he went because when I was a kid, I played on two city championship baseball teams. Well, really one and one runner-up. And when I was 8 years old, I played for the East Side Bullies, and we won the city championship with 8 and 9 years old. It was a salty bunch, let me tell you. And when I was 11 years old, I played for Kmart. And that was when my dad went to Vietnam. And I remember that they went to the base and bought one of those cassette players and some cassette tapes. And some of y'all don't know what that is. And when I would get home from the games, I'd sit down on the kitchen table and press record and talk to my dad about the baseball game. And then we'd get a tape with a lot of information on it about what's going on, and we'd ship it over, and he would vice versa send him back. And I can remember when I was 11, we played for the championship, and we got beat by San Angelo National Bank in the bottom of the sixth. And Joe Paul Bramhall, some of y'all know him, he's famous now. He's the surgeon for the Texas A&M people. I've never liked Joe Paul Bramhall. No, we played sports together, but he hit a home run and beat us. So every now and then I'll see him on the sideline, and I'll look down there and, you rascal, you sorry dog, cost me a city championship. But I remember the day we took him out there to the airport to leave. I think it was the airport. It was either the airport or the bus. I don't remember which base, what it was. And when we came home, my dad had bought a Grundig stereo in Germany when we lived there. And it was one of those long things. You know, it's a record player, vinyl. Back then, you played record players. And my mom sat down and listened to Bobby Vinton. And I came in the living room, and she was listening to Bobby Vinton, A Lonely Soldier. You ever heard that song? When you get home, Google that song. And I remember her crying, sitting down, listening to that song, and I'm listening to A Lonely Soldier Away from Home with No One of My Own. I said, you probably shouldn't be listening to that right now. But that's one of my memories of back then is, I don't think you should ever listen to Bobby Vinton. Let's get him off there, because it was really sad. But anyway, we're glad that we've been able to do this today. I know it's been, it's as Mike said, long overdue for our Vietnam guys. Thank you so much. All right, 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. The king of Aram had great admiration for Naaman, the commander of his army, because through him the Lord had given Aram great victories. But though Naaman was a mighty warrior, he suffered from leprosy. That's interesting, isn't it? When I think about this general, commander of his army, so he's the top guy in our world. If he's a Marine, he's got 4 stars. If he's in the Army or Air Force, he's got, or the Navy. I don't remember what the Navy deal is, but he's a 5-star general. He's an admiral. This is an important man. Naaman was not told no very often in his life. Probably the only two people that could say no to him might be a wife, maybe, every now and then, perhaps not, and the king. Naaman knew what it's like to walk in a room and everybody stands up. Naaman knows what it's like to be the front of the parade. Naaman knows what it's like for all eyes to be on him and to listen to every word he says. Naaman could talk to anybody, a chariot driver, a spear thrower, a bow and arrow man, whatever kind of people was a crossbow guy perhaps. And this man right here had their full attention. He wasn't told no. He wasn't told, hey, wait a minute on that. He had great, great power. But he suffered from leprosy. At this time, Aramean raiders had invaded the land of Israel, and among their captives was a young girl who had been given to Naaman's wife as a maid. One day, the girl said to her mistress, I wish my master would go see the prophet in Samaria. He would heal him of his leprosy. Now, this is a young Israeli girl. This is a young Israeli girl that's probably in her teens, that's captive. She's a slave. And she's a slave of Naaman's wife. But she cares enough to say, I wish my master would go see the prophet in Samaria. He could heal him. Naaman listened to the little girl. That's quite interesting to me. No way of knowing, but let's face it, he didn't listen to many little girls. I don't imagine that he ever stood before all his troops and a little teenage girl walks up to him and says, Mr. Naaman, General Naaman, I think you ought to do this. That would never happen. And he sees this little girl, and he hears about what this little girl thinks, what she knows, what she suggests about the prophet in Samaria. And so Naaman, he's intrigued. So there's something about this little girl that's really important. Some way or another. Now, Naaman is desperate, right? He has leprosy. We don't know what stage it's in, but obviously this is a problem for Naaman. This is not good for the general to have the leprosy. And so I'm sure he's desperate. However, you know that because he goes to the king and he talks to the king about what this young girl has said, this young girl had his ear. This young girl, I would say, was probably responsible, is probably honest, is probably a good worker, is someone that had served in his home, and she gave value to them because he listened to her. So Naaman told the king what the young girl from Israel said, go and visit the prophet, the king of Aram told him. I will send a letter of introduction for you to take the king of Israel, to take to the king of Israel. So Naaman started out carrying as gifts 750 pounds of silver, 150 pounds of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. The letter to the king of Israel said, with this letter, I present my servant Naaman. I want you to heal him of leprosy. Now, they'd been at war with each other. These are not friendly enemies. These are not friendly countries to each other. When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes in dismay and said, this man sends me a leper to heal? Am I God that I can give life and take it away? I can see that he's just trying to pick a fight with me. Something's up here. There's a scheme happening here. Man, I'm going to be careful here. And so the king's not buying any of it. But when Elisha, verse 8, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes in dismay, he sent this message to him. Why are you so upset? Send Naaman to me, and he will learn that there is a true prophet here in Israel. So Naaman went with his horses and chariots. So in our day and time, he would be in his Humvees and his tanks. And Naaman goes with his horses and his chariots, and he waited at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger out to him with this message: "Go and wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan River. Then your skin will be restored and you will be healed of your leprosy." Elisha didn't even go outside to greet him. Can you imagine? Can you imagine that going on? The general pulls up with all of his chariots, with all of his horses, with all of his might and power and decoration. And being this powerful, powerful man, and old Elisha says, "I'll tell him to go and wash 7 times in the Jordan River and he'll be healed." He didn't even get out of his lazy boy. Verse 11, remember, he's not being used to have someone say no to him. He's not used to having someone not even walk out and greet him. He's used to people getting out of their house, going out, and throwing out the red carpet for him. How dare they not respect him? How dare they just show just utter contempt for him? Naaman, verse 11 says, became angry and stalked away. He pitches a fit. "I thought he would certainly come out to meet me," he said. "I expected him," check this out, "I expected him to wave his hand over the leprosy and call the name of the Lord his God and heal me. Aren't the rivers of Damascus, the Abana, and the Pharpar better than any of the rivers of Israel? We got rivers back home. I didn't need to come all the way here," he's saying. "Why should I wash in them and be healed?" So Naaman turned and went away in a rage. Now, we don't know, but I would like to hear what Elisha was thinking at this time. Elisha knows the power of the Lord. Elisha knows what he instructed. Elisha knows what the old boy is missing out on. Look at verse 13. This is very interesting. "But his officers tried to reason with him and said, 'Sir, if the prophet had told you to do something very difficult, wouldn't you have done it? So you should certainly obey him when he says simply, go and wash and be cured.'" So Naaman went down to the Jordan River and dipped himself 7 times. Now, it's very interesting that Naaman listens to a maid girl, and now he listens to one of his people under him, not his equal, least likely to give him advice. Naaman went down to the Jordan River in verse 14 and dipped himself 7 times as the man of God had instructed him, and his skin became as healthy as the skin of a young child, and he was healed. Then Naaman and his entire party went back to find the man of God. They stood before him, and Naaman said, "Now I know that there is no God in all the world except in Israel, so please accept a gift from your servant." By Naaman going back to the prophet and saying, "Now I know there's no God in all the world except in Israel," we understand that Naaman now believes. We understand that Naaman's been born again from what we understand. We know that now Naaman's been converted. Naaman is in. I mean, after all, he has been healed of his leprosy. It's gone. He's cleansed. It's over with. He just simply did what Elisha said for him to do: take 7 baths in the Jordan River. A simple thing. An ordinary thing. He's taken a lot of baths in rivers. He says, there's a lot better rivers in Syria. He's bathed. Everybody bathes in rivers. This is no big deal to him. But this time, it's a big deal. And he bathes 7 times in the Jordan River, and he's healed. And so he goes and says, please accept a gift from your servant. And so Naaman is now Elisha's servant. That's great change of heart. That's great change of heart. The chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff is not going to bow down to chaplains who are lieutenant colonels, are they? They're certainly not going to bow down to a preacher, a bald preacher at that. Elisha. Then Naaman said, all right, but please allow me to load 2 of my mules with earth from this place, and I will take it back home with me. From now on, I will never again offer burnt offerings or sacrifices to any other god except the Lord. However, may the Lord pardon me in this one thing. When my master, the king, goes into the temple of the god Rimmon to worship there and leans on my arm, may the Lord pardon me when I bow to. Now, what he's saying here is, he said, I've got to go with my king to worship his God that I don't worship, but I've got to respect my king, and when it's time to bow to him, I'm going to have to bow physically, but I'm not bowing in my heart. Is that okay? I need to be exempt from that. I understand that's going to be a problem. Is that going to be all right? And Elisha says, go in peace. So Naaman started home again. The servant girl, right place at the right time to speak to Naaman. You need to be willing to listen to anybody. You need to be careful that you don't push anyone away that might have a word from the Lord for you. You need to be really careful. You need to be careful that you don't listen to your underlings. People that are under you in your job, people that are under you in life in your perspective, people that perhaps you shouldn't listen to, maybe you need to be far more open to listen to them. That's a lesson in this story. Naaman would not be at Elisha's house without the little maid girl. We also need to understand here in the story that oftentimes in powerful people, oftentimes, in people with the pride of Naaman, Naaman has lots of pride, obviously. Oftentimes, with people with great opinions, Naaman had some strong opinions. Do you know a general that doesn't? A general doesn't get to be a general without being a strong man. He has strong opinions. He's strong in what he believes. He's got a certain degree of confidence in him, or he would never have risen to the place of a general. Oftentimes, the Lord allows strong people to encounter a problem that they can't fix themselves. Don't you see that happening in our world? Don't you see that happening with people that you know? Haven't you seen that happen perhaps with you? I don't know what the numbers are, but the numbers are huge. The amount of people who are believers in God, born again, servants of Christ, because they experienced a problem that was way too big for them to handle. The Bible doesn't say the Lord will not place on us more than we can handle. That's a misunderstanding. We've talked about that a lot. That's about temptation. He will not give us a temptation to sin that He doesn't give us a way out, but the Lord will allow us to have a problem that we can't handle. And you see, from His perspective, He is pursuing us with a relentless love, and He knows that experiencing a problem that we can't handle is just exactly what we need to be humbled to believe in God. That's why we have such struggle when we have problems. We have such struggle with God. There's great spiritual warfare going on when people have problems. We blame God. We cuss God. We ignore God. We abandon God. We ignore His people. We blame His people. Satan is very much at work when people have problems, because he knows that when people are at a problem that is bigger than they are, they're at a crossroads of belief, crisis of belief. And so here's Naaman. What problem would he have that he couldn't handle? Well, leprosy is it. Leprosy is it. God loves us so much that He allows us to hurt, to experience pain, to experience great problems, so that we can be broken and we can believe in Him. That's a story here. You see, we all have a problem. We all have a problem that we can't solve. For Naaman, it was leprosy. Leprosy here is sin for us. We cannot solve the sin problem that we have. You can't work it out. You can't do better. You can't earn your right place before God. You can't make up for your sin. And our sin is our problem that we can't do anything about. God allowed him, Naaman, to have leprosy to bring him to Him so that he would worship God. That's how much God loves him. There's something else here in this story. The solution just seemed way too simple. One of his guys says to him, "Now wait a minute, General. If he would have asked you to do something difficult, you would have done it." He didn't say, "Be a better person." He didn't say, "Be perfect." He didn't say that what you need to do is run a marathon. He didn't say that you need to give $1 million. He didn't say that you need to make up for all the wrong you've done. No, he gave you a very simple solution to your problem. Go bathe 7 times in the Jordan River. And after the 7th time, you will be healed. Very, very simple. The solution for our sin. The solution for our brokenness, the solution to our life is simple. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, and whoever believes in Him will not perish, but will have eternal life. The solution to our sin problem is very, very simple. Believe in God's gift to us. His wonderful plan of salvation, the gift of His Son that died on the cross in our place and paid the price of our sin. What do we do? Do we make up for our sin? No. Can we make up for our sin? No. It's very simple. We believe. It ought to be more, shouldn't it? Have you ever heard people think that way? Perhaps you think that way. Perhaps you're thinking that way now. It shouldn't be so simple that for me to have eternal life and to have my sins forgiven, I should have to do something far more than to be as simple as just bathe 7 times in the Jordan River. It should be more than believing. But no, it's a simple solution that God has provided for us. Believe in the Lord Jesus. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and if you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Y'all know Bono, U2's lead singer? Bono said, these are great words. Listen to these words. Bono said, when the Spirit leaves the building, all you have left is religion. Do you know what religion is? Religion is saying, it can't be that simple. Being right with God can't be this simple, that you just believe in Jesus and all your sins are forgiven. That's what Naaman is saying here. Wait a minute here. It's got to be something hard. And his subordinate recognized it. Naaman, you're struggling. You're held up because if it was a hard thing, you would do it. Religion wants to make it hard. Religion wants to make it so that we earn our right standing with God. But it's a simple solution. Believing in Jesus. Receiving His wonderful gift. Becoming a believer. Being born again. Just surrendering to what He's done for us. We are not saved through human effort. And there's another lesson here. Naaman bathes in the Jordan River 7 times. And he's completely cleansed. He's new. He's a new person. He's healed. He's cleansed. When we come to a place that we realize that we have a problem that we can't solve, and we realize the good news that there's a simple solution to our sin problem, and we believe the old passes away to new. You see, it's not that we become moral. It's not that now we become a Ten Commandment follower. It's not that we have this real about face happen and now we're going to do better. It's that we were spiritually dead and we believe in Jesus and now we're spiritually alive. Naaman's a new guy. Naaman's a new guy. Naaman had 10 sets of clothes with him, right? He had to cover up. That's a priority for wherever he went. Depending on the stage of the leprosy, he had to have those clothes around. He was coming to a time where no one would ever see his hands again. No one would see his neck again. No one would see his face anymore. He was about to be a recluse. He was about to hide out. I'm sure that he was struggling with, and I'm sure the king was struggling with, how is mighty Naaman going to be able to lead my army when we can't look at him? We can't touch him. He can't be in our close presence. But he believed Elisha's instruction, the word of the Lord, and he becomes a new person. That's for every single one of us. If we will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we will be saved. If we will believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we will become a new person. If we will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we will be cleansed. That's the wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ. Naaman was a mighty commander. He had tremendous accolades paid to him. Everywhere he went, he was celebrated. But he had a problem that he could do nothing about. And that leprosy was grace for Naaman. When you are made aware of a problem that you cannot fix, understand that's the grace of God for you. Let's pray. Today might be the day you receive Christ, you believe in Him. Today might be the day. And so today, as you are recognizing that you have the problem of sin that you cannot fix, perhaps you have been struggling with the solution being so simple, just simply believe in Jesus. But in your heart, you long for forgiveness. You long for new life. Would you just right now, between you and the Father, as the Holy Spirit is leading you, as the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, as the Holy Spirit is revealing to you the pathway to being right with God, is just confess that you have sinned, that you are a sinner. Agree with God about His wonderful gift of salvation through Jesus. Believe in that gift. Trust that gift. Place all your trust in what He's done for you on the cross. Say, I'm no longer going to try to work my way to be a good person. I'm no longer going to work my way to earn your forgiveness. I recognize that I cannot earn your forgiveness. I believe in what Jesus has done for me on the cross. And I commit today to be your child, your servant, your follower. If you've made that decision, you need to let someone know. If you made that decision, you need to let us know about that so we can begin that wonderful process of growing and learning what it means to be one of His children. But you, from this moment on, are one of God's children, saved, forgiven, justified, completely, absolutely right with God. God's people declared before Father, Amen. Amen. Ushers, come forward.